Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Our second reading is from Luke 8, verses 1 and 2. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching, announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I have a hunch some of you have been sick. I have a hunch some of you have had some sort of illness. I think some of you might have a disease. How can we get over this sickness, this illness, and this disease? Even if you haven't had a sickness or an illness or disease, you're sick of talking about it, amen? My name is Keith Harcombe. Happy New Year. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and I'm excited to launch into our new series for 2022, The Chosen, based on Dallas's new series called The Chosen. It's an app. You can download it on your iPhone or your Android, wherever it is, and it's got some acclaimed awards. This guy, Dallas, has done an amazing way of how to depict the gospel like never before. And we are basing our next 3 weeks on this series. And the series outlines 4 main characters in the gospel. And you'll hear more about that if you come to the study on Wednesday. But the 4 main characters that we will be referencing and referring to are ones that you may be familiar with. Of course, there's Mary Magdalene, which is in the scripture that we just read. There's Simon Peter, the leader of disciples. There's Nicodemus, the leader of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisee, the rabbi. And, of course, we have Thomas, the tax collector. These 4 characters are outlined well in the series, and, of course, we have them in the Gospels. Each of these characters in the Gospel all had some sort of sickness, all had some sort of illness, at least had a dis-ease. Some of us have had a disease. Some of us have been sick. Some of you are ill. On Monday morning, for the first time in 10 years, I was unable to get out of bed. Now, for some of you, that's your everyday occurrence, and you never want to get out of bed in the morning. But if you ask my wife, I'm one of those annoying people in the morning. I'm up, I'm ready to go, I'm excited, it's 6 o'clock, and everybody should be happy too, because I'm happy. Not particularly on this Monday morning. I couldn't move. I was scrunched up in a ball in my bed, and I was shaking, cold shakes. Like, what the heck? I can't get out of bed. I finally dragged myself out of bed, and I noticed I couldn't breathe, and my throat was contracted, and it felt like a desert father's sandal in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It felt like I'd swallowed sandpaper. I make it to the bathroom. I finally do my things that I normally do in the morning. I look awful. I walk downstairs, you know, like this. You know, I can't walk. I make it to the kettle, make myself a cup of tea to help with my throat, and start medicating for cold. I don't know. And then my wife suggests that I stick one of those plastic things up my nose for 15 seconds on one side and 15 seconds on the other, shake it together, do a bit of a science experiment, put it in a thing, and then wait 15 minutes. Sure enough, I'm sick. Sure enough, I'm ill. I've got COVID-19. Actually, it was probably COVID-20, or maybe it was COVID-2021. I don't know, whatever Greek alphabetic name we want to give it. I was sick. I was ill. Some of you also have been sick and ill. Some of you have had an illness. Some of you have a long-term illness. Some of you have a dis-ease. Mary of Magdalene had a dis-ease. She was sick. She was tormented. In fact, the scripture tells us that she has 7 demons. In the series, The Chosen, she's called Lilith. The dramatic license says she's Lilith. And she's from this town called Magdala, which is northwest of Tiberias, and a place nobody really wants to come from. This place, Magdala, is known as a place of ill repute. In fact, it's mentioned in the rabbi's prayers as a place, please, God, please don't let me go to Magdala. This is a place nobody wants to be. And Lilith, in the series The Chosen, is somebody who is trouble. She hangs out in Magdala's city. She hangs out in the bars and taverns. She's a woman who's treated poorly by men, to put it mildly. And she's tormented. At night, she has income. In the daytime, she's trapped in her own home with her sickness, with her illness, with her disease, with her 7 demons. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the rabbi, the professional religious person. The professional religious person thinks he can expel these demons, thinks he can exorcise these demons, and he goes to visit this city, Magdala. In the show, it's called the Red District. Red for danger. He visits this woman, Lilith, Magdala. And he goes to visit, and Lilith is known as somebody who's not excited to be around people, especially in the daytime. In fact, if anybody comes near her, she lashes out, she scratches people, she screams and yells and curses at them. And Nicodemus feels hurt that he can't get these 7 demons out of this woman. He's in the show, he can't do anything. He thinks he does the right things and thinks he thinks that says the right prayers, but he can't get these 7 demons out of Lilith. Lilith is continued to be tormented by these 7 demons. Of course, that's in the show, The Chosen, in the series. But what do we know biblically about this woman? What do we know about this woman? Before we find out what about this woman, we know Nicodemus knows this text that was read to you today. You can follow along if you want. It's in Isaiah 43, a foundational text for those of us who want to follow Jesus. Isaiah 43, you can open it in your Bibles in front of you, or you can pull it up on your phone right now, Isaiah 43. And this is a foundational text that you might want to write down, that you might want to type into your phone in the notes section. Here it is. This is Isaiah, the major prophet, talking. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, Nicodemus would know this text off by heart in Hebrew, obviously. This is the original text that the Jews would know all the way through in Hebrew. And he knew, Nicodemus, as a good Hebrew, he knew that this text was talking about him. It was talking about Israel. It was talking about him as the leader of Israel. I'm called. I know God. I have called you by name. He says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. He knew that was referring to the exit from Exodus from Egypt. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. Flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored. I love you. This is Yahweh speaking to Israel, his chosen people. Now, Nicodemus would know this, and he knew this, and he knew he had the authority to cast out demons, but he couldn't do it. Nicodemus, the rabbi, felt inept, felt like he wasn't a real rabbi, felt like, is there something I'm doing wrong? Is there a formula that I'm not doing to get these seven demons out of Lilith? Was this scripture about this woman? I mean, surely Mary Lilith couldn't be called. She couldn't be chosen. She's literally a messenger from Satan herself. She's scratching me. She's calling me names. She's lashing out at me. Who is Mary? When we go to the Gospels, we find out who Mary is. When we go to Luke, we find out who Lilith, Mary, really is. In Luke chapter 8, so go to the New Testament, to the Testament that we have, it talks about what was going on in Jesus' life. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages. It's around Galilee in the north of Israel, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits, so other women had been cured of evil spirits, and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. So we know that this woman, Lilith, was now Mary of Magdala, had been, seven demons had been cast out of her, because it says so. And this woman is always mentioned when the women who are following Jesus, and the women would have been providing for Jesus. They would have been making sure his ministry was covered for. They would set up the room for the Last Supper. They would provide everything that Jesus and the disciples, by our standards, these women were disciples. And Mary of Magdala is always mentioned first when the group of women are mentioned. So we know this woman was a follower of Jesus, along with other women who also had had demons cast out of them. Women who were sick, women who were ill, women who had a dis-ease. What is your sickness? What is your illness? What is your dis-ease? What is it that you can think of that you constantly have a dis-ease with? This is where Mary is, and Mary is following Jesus because she knows that that's the best way to live with her disease. So that's where she's first mentioned in Luke 8 and John chapter 19, verse 25. We see where else that Mary of Magdala was. She was standing near the cross with Jesus, standing with Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and of course, other people at the cross. Notice who was at the cross. We know from other Gospels that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was also at the cross. But mostly, it was these disciples. Are these real disciples, the ones who are at the cross, looking at Jesus, looking at his face as he was crucified? So Mary was there, Mary of Magdalene was there with them and witnessing the death of Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, also James and John's mother, the disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, her mother was there too. We also know that Mary witnessed where the body was placed. When the body was taken down off the cross, none other than Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, when it was took off the cross and placed in the tomb, Mary was witnessing this too. Mark chapter 15, verse 47 says, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where Jesus' body was laid. So they witnessed it. They seen it on the cross. And she witnessed the body go into the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had given him. Saturday, she went to anoint the body. So Friday, she's seen the crucifixion. She's seen the body go into the tomb. Saturday, she and the other Marys prepare the body for the tomb. Mary, the mother, Saturday evening when Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body on that day. We can reason from understanding where Mary Magdalene was that she was also at the Last Supper and the First Supper and the Second Supper. We can reason that she witnessed the miracles of Jesus and was there listening to Jesus' teaching and understanding it and follow. We can reason that. We haven't got testimony that. We've not written that, but we can reason that if she was a follower of Jesus, she would have also seen this too. And that's all we've got, right? About Mary. That's all we've got about this demon-possessed, evil woman of the night. This filthy, smelly woman from Magdala. This woman actually gets to see the resurrection. This woman was the first one to the tomb. She was the first person to see Jesus. She has got a lot going on in her background. She's been relieved from 7 demons. She was sick. She was diseased. And yet, on the Sunday, this demon-possessed, loose, sin-stained woman walks to the tomb. Not Simon Peter, leader of the disciples. Not John, the one whom Jesus loved. Not his mother, not Elizabeth, his auntie, but Mary, Magdalene. This diseased woman, outcast from her own town, gets to witness the resurrection. John chapter 20 is where we get to witness this. John chapter 20 tells us what happens. I think we'll start at 11. No, we'll start at 10. Mary was standing there in the tomb crying. Yeah, 11. And as she wept, she stooped in and looked in. And she saw the 2 white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied. And I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? There's lots of things that we can look for There's lots of news we can look for. There's lots of knowledge we can look for. There are lots of things that we can do to excite our imagination. Where was Mary on Sunday morning? In The Chosen, of course, I'm blowing up the first episode for you, but you should download it. Go get it. Download it. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to subscribe to anybody. It's free. And at the end of the episode is this moment. You guys know the end of the story, right? Just checking. At the end of the episode, there's this moment where Mary's in a tavern like she normally is. She knows the guy in the bar. She knows him behind the bar. And she says to the barman, "Give me some more." And he looks as if to say, "Look, you don't need this. This is obviously not working. This is obviously not something that that's good for you." And she said, "Just give me it anyway." And a guy appears next to her at the bar and says, you know, she says, "No, not tonight," kind of thing. And he says, "You stink anyway. You smell." And he walks off. And Mary's like, "Oh." She looks at the barman. The barman gives her a drink. And Jesus appears next to her on the left-hand side. Of course, Jesus has no problem going to Magdala, by the way. Jesus has no problem going to the Red District. Jesus had no problem going to the town which the rabbis mentioned in the prayers was not a place that they should go to. And Jesus pulls up next to Mary. And he says to her, "I can help you." And she looks at him as if to say, "You can't help me. There's no way you can help me." She takes another drink, and then the music goes drama, you know, and her head starts to spin around, and she walks out, runs out of the bar, out of the tavern. And of course, Jesus runs after her, which is another sermon for another day. Jesus runs after her and runs after her and says one word. And says one word to her, which changed the whole trajectory of her life. Says the same word to her that he said to her at the tomb when he was resurrected from the dead. He says this one word that meant only one thing to that woman. The only word he said was, "Mary. Mary." He didn't say, "Mary." He didn't say, "Mary, really?" He didn't say, "Come on, Mary. Buck up." What was the intonation in Jesus' voice when he said to Mary, "Mary"? He says to her, "Mary," and it's this a powerful moment. The music comes up, the drama comes up, and this powerful moment, she says, "Mary," and she just starts bawling on his chest. He just hugs her, and she's crying out of desperation. She's crying because she's over the sickness, she's over the disease, and she doesn't know where else to turn, so she turns to Jesus. And Jesus hugs her and welcomes her in and says, I love you. Are you tracking? Are you following? She turns to Jesus and says nothing. She just cries into his arms. Just by him saying, "Mary, I know that I'm sick. I know that I'm ill. I know that I have a dis-ease." Heck, Mary had 7 demons in her life. Jesus can handle that, no worries. And he goes to Magdala, and he goes to where she is, in the bar, in the pub, in the depths of her despair, and says to her, "Mary." Today, 2022, no matter what sickness you have, no matter what illness you have, no matter what dis-ease you have, no matter what demons you have, whether you have 1, 2, 3, 7, Jesus wants you to know you are called. You are chosen and you are called. In fact, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 43 and read again, now with the eyes of Jesus looking through this scripture. But now, O Jacob, Israel, you who are grafted into this people, to Israel, you are Israel. Those who follow Jesus are now Israel. You, Palm Harbor, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid of COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, COVID Omicron, COVID Epsilon, COVID Zeta, whatever it is. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. You, I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. And Jesus says this to Mary, and Jesus says this to you whom have a disease. Now, I don't know what that disease is. My presumption is you're not sick because you're here with us today celebrating and worshiping. But my other presumption is you probably have a disease. You probably have a uneasiness in your heart and in your life, which says, I can't go there. Something triggers me. Every time I see that post, every time I hear that my mother say that, every time I hear my father say that, every time I look at that one object, that gives my disease. And I also have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that particular topic. What is that for you? What is your disease? Mary, on Sunday morning, was at the tomb. On Sunday morning, looking for Jesus. And Jesus said to her, what are you looking for? Did Jesus know what she was looking for? Of course he did. Of course he did. But Jesus wanted to hear Mary, Lilith, whatever their nickname was, whatever their name of ill repute was, and say to him, yes, Jesus, I am looking for you. I am looking for you. And Jesus is like, good. Mary, welcome. Welcome in. Welcome in to the tribe of Israel. Welcome to those of you who are loved, those of you who are called, those of you who are chosen by name. Today, I have an action for you. I want you to write down, maybe you want to take a note in your phone. I know that's what I kind of do lately. I just put notes in the phone. Maybe you're a scribbler as well. But I want you to write down your illness. I want you to write down your sickness. I don't know. Maybe COVID will go away. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something you've struggled with all your life. Maybe it's a disease that you've struggled with all your life. Maybe there's a demon that you have that keeps cropping up and telling you things about yourself that are not true. I want you to write it down. I'm going to give you a moment to write it down. I'll give you a moment to write it down now. Scribble in the back of your Bible. Scribble in the pew Bible. Nobody knows it's you. Write down your disease. Write down your illness, the thing that you are uncomfortable with, the thing that triggers you when you see this thing or hear this tone or listen to something that your mother or father said to you. Write it down. And then give it to Jesus. Because Jesus is asking today, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? And you say, well, I got this stuff. I got this sickness. I got this disease. I got this illness. I got these demons in my life. And Jesus is like, okay. You're good. And here is Jesus' response. Here is Jesus' response when you say those things. Here is Jesus' response when you come looking for him on Sunday morning. Here it is. He says, I have called you by name. I have called you by name and you are mine. I have called you Keith. I have called you Scotty. I have called you Chris. Put your name in those brackets there. and put your name in there and know that Jesus calls you today, just like Mary Magdalene, just like those that we are going to look at in The Chosen. And here is the here's the end of all the things that Jesus wants to say to you, whether it's at the tomb, whether it's in your disease, whether it's in your illness, whether it's in tackling with your demons daily. Jesus said, only response to those things is, I have called you by name, and you are mine. One of the ways that we know this is through taking communion together. And as we transition to our time of communion, think about your disease, your sickness, and your illness, and how Jesus hears that. Let's take communion together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing everywhere to those whom you have called, to those you have called to your table today, to those whom you have sacrificed your life for. And we come to you today, Lord, seeking you at this tomb, seeking you at this cross. And so with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, and he passed it round his diseased and sick and broken disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And on the same night after the supper, he took the wine, this is juice, and he poured it out and he gave it to the disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many and for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. May they be for us your body and your blood so that we might be transformed to serve you, even through our illness, even through our sickness. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.